All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good night, our amazing viewers. I'm Alex, one of the interns in this boat.
I'm Luke. I'm the other intern in the boat.
And we actually have a full boat today, unlike the past couple of episodes where we had a replacement Luke, and then Luke drowned. But he's back.
Yeah.
He is back.
I got my floaties on. I came to the surface.
But today, our guest, a very awesome person. He likes to fight and he likes to move on. It was supposed to be a fight on reference, but I got, we're going off script here. Let's see. Let's go on script now. You guessed it. It's time to introduce our special guest. He's currently enrolled at USC as an engineer, but more importantly, he is a movie connoisseur with a deadly passion for Taco Bell and Mountain Dew. Please give a warm round of applause for the one and only Troy Yarder.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going well.
Good.
Thank you so much, Troy, for being on our boat with us today.
Yeah, I didn't know I was sailing today, but here we go.
Oh yeah, no, we are out in the middle of the, let's see, the last two episodes was the Indian Ocean. Which ocean do you want to be?
Good old Pacific Ocean. Big, vast Pacific, right out in the middle. No one in sight.
Bet. Just right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I love it. I love it. Low key. Okay. The Pacific Ocean, I'd say, is an S tier ocean.
I can't argue with that. I'm in it often and it's great every time. Never fails, never disappoints.
What's like the D tier
ocean? I'd say Atlantic. Atlantic Ocean sucks. I hate the Atlantic Ocean. The waves are small. The water's too warm. There's a lot of jellyfish. It's like the only nice part is like the sand, but like, dude, the Pacific, I feel like the Pacific has it good, you know, perfect waves for surfing.
Well, and recently the Atlantic's had like 100 degree water in Florida or something. It's like getting in a hot tub. It's not refreshing at all.
Dude. And it's like when you get out of the water, it's like just as hot. It's just as bad.
So there's like no cooling off.
At least in California, at least where we are. You can just walk in, cool off, get out, and just chill. It's nice. But that is a perfect segue into our introduction. Because we introduced the Pacific Ocean and why we like it, we are going to have Troy introduce himself. So Troy, give us just, you can take as long or as short as you want, but tell the viewers who you are and what you do and why you love what you do.
So I'm Troy. I'm in my very last year at undergrad mechanical engineering at USC, specifically mechanical engineering with no real concentration, but I am, you know, loving the challenge. I transferred to USC, so that was a big step up. The USC engineering program is I think it's top 15, so it's rigorous for sure, but you know, it's really been cool to see the places that God has placed me and the places that I've had to crawl out of sometimes. So, yeah, no, I really, really like it. It's definitely challenging and learning a lot. Looking forward to finishing up this spring. I mean, I guess a little bit about me. At my previous school, I was track athlete. And then now I've, you know, shifted my focus completely to pretty much engineering, but I still can't function without some exercise. So I've taken up a couple different things, surfing, a basketball league that I play in, more surfing, and then a little bit of, you know, working out, lifting, running here and there. So, and that has been really big for me to get through school. But yeah, it's been great. Lots to learn. Looking forward to, you know, going through some questions, whatever you guys have for me. As you said, big Taco Bell guy, big movie guy. I wouldn't say that I have accurate or very typical opinions on movies, probably, but I always have an opinion. So happy to share. I'm excited to be here.
That's okay. We'll get to the movie. I have a fun talking point when we get to the movie section that I saw today on Instagram. I started laughing really hard. My parents were like, why are you laughing so hard? So I think I think this will be a good like conversation starter later on. So some foreshadowing for the audience. So stay tuned.
Yeah, you said you also play basketball, right? What position you play?
So I played three sports growing up. And then basketball was one of my main near the end. But I would say I grew up a point guard, but now I'll tend to play just anywhere, wing, point guard, not inside, but wing or point guard is where I just play like a rec league now with some friends. Some of my Christian friends that's still in La Mirada. So yeah.
Nice.
Don't ask me to ball up. I can't ball. I'll have fun.
I've seen it personally.
Yeah, no, you have seen it personally. It's horrendous.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
it's like a giraffe on ice skates. It's literally what it is. Like that's the best. But I love balling. But we'll go back to the engineering side.
Yeah.
So you said mechanical engineering, correct?
Yes.
So what does that entail? Are like you a mechanic? An auto shop?
Well, no. I mean, you're on the right track as far as that is definitely a facet of it. I mean, obviously mechanical engineers aren't typically mechanics, but it's more behind the most general way is moving machinery, any kind of machine, vehicle, system that has, control systems, moving parts, and obviously some kind of goal, is kind of where mechanical engineering falls in. Mechanical engineering is really like the brother to aerospace. If that's a really easy way to get into it, is like aerospace is like really into, it's planes and spaceflight. And then mechanical engineering typically falls into more of the ground type work. So machinery, systems, HVAC, which is heating and air conditioning, and then definitely into automotives, and energy and things like that. Mechanical engineering is really, I would describe it as kind of the Swiss Army knife of engineering choices, like when you're going into a major, which is part of the reason why I picked it. Because I don't really have some people are studying engineering and they're really like, oh, I just can't wait to work with planes. I want to work for Boeing or whatever. I want to really get into this thing. And I didn't really feel like I had that. I just knew that I wanted to be in the engineering field. I just love solving complex problems, and I love people. And I felt like that's where engineering would fit me, and I might be, needed as well. So something that God has kind of called me to is just trying to get into the world of engineering, and mechanical always fit me best for my interests. I would say aerospace is right there with it, and I would love to work for an aerospace company. But yeah, I know I'd love to get into any kind of automotive, or energy would be really interesting too. But it's definitely like the Swiss Army knife as far as like mechanical engineer can fit into a lot of facets. You kind of get a lot of different types of schooling throughout. So you get a lot of aerospace type classes, but then you get a lot of like systems type classes and industrial type classes and some more computer interests and things like that. So I'm really, it's hard to say it sometimes, but I've really left it up to the Lord of where I might actually end up. But that's all right.
That's cool. So it's just like for a bad analogy, it's like business school of engineering, where it's just like it can take you like literally anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's one of the most interesting things about the engineering field is I would bet, from what I've heard and what I've been getting more and more experience, is that often, almost more than 60% of the time, I would say an engineer doesn't end up in their chosen field. So, like, I have like a couple cousins and things in engineering. Like for example, my cousin was chemical engineering all the way through, loved chemistry, everything. He designed computer chips. Why? I don't know. He liked the job. He liked the people. And so there's an element of having an expertise somewhere, which is really useful. But when it comes down to it, most engineers can do a lot of engineering jobs because you just learn how to learn. You learn how to figure things out. And so if you're able and good enough and confident enough, then you kind of fit in a lot of places. And so yeah, that's a weird thing about engineering is like, everybody's like, oh, once you pick, then you're going to end up in that field. That's not necessarily true. It's something that I've learned recently. So
that's really cool. I was thinking about doing comp sci, computer science or computer engineering. And that was kind of like why I kind of like stemmed away from it, just because personally I was like, oh shoot, like I feel like I'm just going to be trapped. So I actually didn't know that about engineering. That's really cool.
I would definitely say there's groups though, like computer engineering, if you're going to do that, you're going to end up probably in software. Like your odds are you're not going to end up, you know, designing wings on planes. But as far as like chemical and mechanical and aerospace, biomed, there's a lot of different things that you can kind of end up wherever. So like a lot of mechanical people will end up in, you know, designing medical devices, and then you know, other people will end up with some kind of, you know, maybe they get into solar, you know. There's so many things. And the biggest thing is it's weird to have engineering majors that are so specific when almost every job is a combination of several types of engineers. Like the most specifically aerospace job you could imagine still needs somebody who understands thermodynamics and heat from a mechanical engineering side. And can keep, you know, things from overheating and stuff like that, or ventilation or whatever. And then then somebody who is really working with chemicals and designing new drugs and stuff, they also probably need, you know, somebody who understands the industry, and then somebody who can code whatever the machinery is doing. Because typically, you know, most things are made by hand. So almost a software developer needs to be in every job now. So you never know where you might be, which is kind of a fascinating part of it, in my opinion.
That's really cool.
So what? I'm sorry, I can't keep it. Because it's so, there's such a wide range, right? And you have to work on like all your projects. Like you're working with all these different people. What's like one of your go-to like engineering stories? Like was there like a really cool like project that you were working on that you're like, dude, like this project was sick, or like vice versa, where you're like, dude, this project sucked?
I actually have two great examples. So it's funny you say that. So I do really enjoy group work. That's one of the main things that I hope to advance in engineering is I often would consider myself to be a little bit more of a people person than the average engineer. That's no dig to anyone. That means that I'm one of the less smart engineers, in my opinion. But you need both.
Troy, you're big brain. You're big brain.
Two examples for that. One project I really didn't like, but you just had to get through it. And then another project that I'm really excited about. At my previous school, we had a project they were trying to design EKG, which is basically like a heart monitor. With electric circuits, you're trying to set it up to where you can get a reading and show it up on an oscilloscope. That's like one of the things in a hospital that goes boop, boop, kind of similar idea, at least. Anyway, so we were trying to get a certain, phenomena from, you know, our actual skin. When you look at the science behind it, seems easy, but when you would try to do it, not so much. And that's why those, you know, that technically, the device is super expensive in the real world, but we tried really, really hard. And I had a group that was really interesting and wanted to go off on their own thing all the time. And funny enough, I think just about nobody's worked. Like everybody was trying to do the same project. None of them worked. We were all trying really hard. I had pennies, you know, taped to my wrist trying to get a pulse from myself. And we had one moment where we had one little pulse that looked right, and we just screenshotted it and went with that.
That's
good
enough.
And the professor was like, wow, he must have got something. And we were like, So everybody was like really frustrated. We're like, why would we do that project? It's not possible with the equipment we have. But, you know, that was one of the things that I learned the most from, because it seemed impossible. And so it puts you in situations with the people around you that are interesting. You know, you have somebody who's stubborn and thinks that they have the right idea and they want to go with it, and you have to be encouraging and say, okay, let's pursue it, let's see if it works. And when it doesn't, then you can try and reel it back. And then you have the people that want to just sit out and say, this is never going to work and I'm never going to do this, and you have to, you know, get them going with encouragement and stuff like that. So learned a lot from that one.
Was that like a semester long project?
One Yeah, it was a whole semester. Well, it was really like the second half of a semester, and it was unsuccessful, to say the least. But that's part of engineering, and I'm sure that all of us have like funny and interesting memories from it now, even though in the moment it sucked. But then, like, for example, I'm doing a senior project this year that I'm really excited about, which I guess has the potential to go really poorly also. But yeah, I'm designing with a team of four an idea that I kind of hedged up last year, just kind of thinking about different things. I've been interested in energy recently. And so our plan is to try and design a small solar panel that would be able to track the sun and move with it and stay at the most efficient angle throughout the entire day, no matter the movement of the sun. And then we'd be using a specific type of actuator for that. Actuator is like a mechanism used for turning it. Think of like hydraulics or an arm that's going to move something. You know, if you had a tractor, the actuator would be the arms that move the bucket. That's an actuator. So a specific type of actuator called shape memory alloys, which I could go into a big old rabbit hole. I won't bother you guys with that. But basically you can. They're super efficient in space. So this would be a like solar space application to make it super efficient and always at the highest voltage possible solar panels, basically. So a fun project that we'll like to try. For our model, we're going to just get like, 6x6 inch square solar panel, get a little stem for it, some actuators, and then hopefully maybe even integrate some machine learning to where, the sun's moving this day or it's a little cloudy, it'll keep adjusting. Obviously, that's a big swing. We're really mostly hoping to get a solar panel that can work, move throughout the day, use those actuators correctly, and be really efficient.
Dude, that sounds like a Shark Tank.
It is a little bit of a Shark Tank idea. It's not that original. I had the idea. It was one of those like I had the idea. I bet nobody's ever done this, and then you look it up and somebody's done it. But yeah, that was actually helpful because now we have kind of a baseline to try and follow, do better. How can we make ours more efficient? Type of work. So,
hey, that's how Microsoft started. Where,
yeah,
you know, Bill Gates was like, dude, we can make this so much better. And I will say, I hate Apple computers. Microsoft did it well.
Yeah.
So you guys can all at me. I do not care. I like Microsoft. It is much easier. But
there's an element of good on each side, in my opinion. I've become a gray Jedi of sorts for Apple versus some Microsoft. Because I have grown up with Apple always, and then now I'm in full-time mechanical engineering school at a high-level, university, and Apple products don't work great for that type of thing, but there's specific programs that I simply don't have the storage for, don't have the computing capacity for, but my desktop looks nicer than everybody else's, but who cares? So there's definitely some work that I have to do on computers on campus, which can be annoying, but it's a give and take both ways. Microsoft has their issues and Apple has their limitations. So
no, I'm the same way. I was the opposite. I grew up on Microsoft only. Yeah. So when I've had to when I started this like project stuff this summer, and then last summer I had to use Apple products, I was like, what the heck? I was like, what's the Finder? I was like, why doesn't this search bar look for what I need? I was like, what's going on? I'll try to highlight. I was like, and the mouse pad's really weird. And I'm like, this ain't it. And then I just get on my desk, I get my desktop, and I'm like, oh, I know how to do everything. I can like conquer the world.
Yeah, I grew up on Apple and then I just recently switched to a Microsoft. I'm actually really liking it, but I agree. There are good things to both sides.
Yeah, I think if you're using Apple in more of like a communication standpoint, as far as, more of like a business side, I would bet that I feel like Apple would be nicer, in my opinion, just for use in everyday work. But as soon as you're getting into using specific programs and high storage issues and things like that, it's hard not to have some kind of Microsoft computer or some kind of PC. So I'll probably always have an Apple computer for myself and a Microsoft computer for work. That's probably my plan for my future. So,
are you rocking? What are you using to record this? I'm guessing Apple.
Yeah, I have a MacBook Pro.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I got it when I graduated high school. Okay. Still running strong.
I see
strong.
How it is.
Same here, man. I think this is from like 2015.
Yeah,
it's still running strong.
Beautiful. Maybe only issue is probably the battery, I bet.
Yeah, battery's quick, and like I run out of memory, and like I can't really update it anymore.
That's where you have to get into more of OneDrive or Google Drive type stuff, yeah, and start moving stuff over. That is the one thing that saved my laptop for USD, is like a free Microsoft OneDrive where you can just send everything off if you don't want anything on your computer. So I actually need to re-wipe my computer for this semester.
That's funny. But yeah, so go into the, because we can do like a short little segment, but the micro, what was it? The moving stuff, the space,
yeah,
moving. That's
so
that's
specific,
my
type of actuator. They're called shape memory alloys, which is actually really interesting. So the best way to picture it is, the most of them are springs, but the best way to picture it, the first way I want to explain it is like, think of a paperclip made of shape memory alloys. You bend it all out of shape. You have ADHD and you pull it all apart. And then you put it in like really, really hot water and boom, it's back to its original built shape. It moves on its own back to a shape. And the way that works is certain metals contract with heat, hotter temperatures, and certain metals expand with hotter temperatures. So they place, it's an alloy, so it's a mix of two metals. They place those metals in a certain stack to where, for example, if I wanted it to always be curved, I'd put the metal that contracts on the bottom and the metal that expands on top. So when you stretch it out, when you get it hot, this one's going to contract, this one's going to expand. Sorry, this one's going to expand and this one's going to contract, and it'll come back to its curved shape. So bring that idea into more of a spring fashion. When you run a voltage through it, which is in turn creates heat much quicker. So it's voltage is typically what's used for them. So you run electric current through it, and basically you pull that spring apart, you put electric current through it, pulls it back together on its own. So it can actually lift pretty heavy things. Like you can use them to, like, we got to test them a bunch last year, where we were putting heavy weights on the end of them, running voltage through it, pulls it in. It's really weird to look at. It doesn't look like anything is actually doing it, but it's really just the power of those metals and the way they're designed. So basically we would have two springs working against each other. Well, maybe four springs working against each other. So you have one in one corner and it would contract, because we don't have any control over them expanding. That has to be it being pulled by something else. So if you have, if it's a square panel and you have an actuator on each corner, you have one that would pull it down while that pulls the other one up, and then vice versa. Then you put voltage into this one and it pulls it back this way. So basically you'd have two set degrees of freedom, basically, for that panel to follow the sun all the way around. So, yeah.
Dude, that's interesting. That's actually so sick.
Yeah.
And the perfect Shark Tank pitch, too. That was great.
It's,
dude,
right, it's one of those.
Luke, do you have the soundboard?
I don't know which button does what.
Oh, okay. Okay, hold up. The soundboard.
Just recreate it, Alex. What do you got?
No, the sound, it's either the third button to the right or third button to the left. One of those two.
Okay, I'm just going to guess here. It didn't work.
I don't think we can hear it.
I hooked up right.
we'll fix it later. You'll get two rounds of applause.
There we go.
the applause, dude, the applause that we have, dude. How long? It's like a 5 second applause. It's like a long, awkward applause. It's really funny. But yeah, no, dude, the perfect Shark Tank pitch right there.
Yeah. And so the reason that they're actually efficient in space is because running voltages through springs and things to pull just small amounts of weight, you're wasting electricity basically on Earth. But the way, because they're so easy to move, they take such low voltages when without gravity, basically they're really efficient actuators in space and really easy to control in space, when other types of actuators are really difficult in space because they depend on gravity. So it's kind of we're pitching it to more of a satellite use. And then that also is hopefully going to be a way that clean energy is sent back to Earth someday, but that's a whole nother research project. So,
dude, that's sick. You're setting up your future one step at a time, and I love it. I love it, and our viewers love it too.
I hope it works. We have not really started yet, but that's our proposal. Yep.
How have you involved Christ into your field or workspace?
Yeah. So moving to a big, very secular, in the middle of LA city is a big, big challenge and big switch. It's definitely somewhere that's difficult to carry your faith in a way that is visible because of just that kind of the possible persecution you can feel. And especially if you're new, I mean, you transferring into a big school like that is difficult. Everybody is, and in a certain major where a lot of people know each other because of the amount of group work, getting to know someone, you want to meld to what they're talking about and things like that. And so it's sometimes hard to, you know, bring your faith into it. It's definitely a challenge that is, obviously ongoing for everyone, but very concentrated at a school like that. Where certain things that are very, you know, against our faith in a way are very celebrated at USC. And I won't get into any kind of ethical issues or anything like that because I'm not super involved with on campus, to be honest. But as far as, you know, being who you are, there's always a chance of someone going, oh, okay, and moving on. You know, when you need to keep building those connections and keep making connections with new people. So it's definitely been, it was challenged a lot at first, and I just kept getting more and more confidence and just leaning more and more on God to just kind of be with me day to day. Cause sometimes it's easy to really get into the grind and really get into just working with other people and not saying anything. And all of a sudden I had a friend say, hey, you should come to Crew, which is Campus Crusade for Christ. And they have actually a pretty small presence at USC, which is sad. But I was invited to that. I had free food and I really kind of reignited a fire that I really needed back, after my first semester, just for seeking Christ in my own life, let alone, you know, on campus. I realized that it was so easy at my previous school was a Christian school. It was so easy to stay in that mode of, oh, I'm Christian and it's very accepted here. So I don't have to like fight for anything. I don't have to be loud about it. I'm not going to convert anyone here. Everybody's already Christian. You know, like there's not that the aim is to convert people, but the aim is to be a light. So it was a whole new mindset at USC that I had to really, really develop, and I'm still working on, and hopefully I can, you know, continue to show that throughout my last year here. But I'm looking forward to getting even more involved with Crew and things like that. And then just carrying myself as much as I can, because the bottom line is you're not going to convert anyone and you're only going to scare people away if you're just going up and saying, have you heard about Jesus Christ? There's a reason that we make fun of certain groups that tend to do that. But, you know, if you are every day, you know, living the way that, as best you can, the way that you feel like you're being called to by the Lord, people start to see it. People start to wonder why you're different, which is one of the things that I've gotten. And I started attracting, you know, certain people that, and hopefully I'm going to help get them to, you know, to Crew and things. But it's really hard. At first I thought that I was going to, once I have enough confidence in this school, I'll start telling people about Jesus as much as I possibly can. And that hasn't been, I wouldn't say it's been successful. It's more of be the Christ follower that you are called to be, when those situations are where they're meant to be. You can't force it, because you're not in control. There's only one guy in control, and I'm probably butchering and rambling now, but I hope that I'm conveying the picture of, you know, it was definitely weird and difficult at the beginning, and then a little bit of straying from what I would, you know, consider where my faith has been really strong. I strayed away from that a little bit, and then kind of had a rude awakening of you can't do this on your own. You know, there's a reason that you believe and that you've been saved. So anyway,
definitely not alone in that.
Yeah. No, it can definitely be really hard. I can, especially at like a very secular school like USC, but it's very interesting that you mentioned, where was I? I was at my roommate's wedding. My roommate got married like a couple days ago. Dude, the wedding was fun. They said I was the life of the party, and I always am.
You really are, Alex.
But I forgot who said it, but it was like, we were not made to be alone and to live this life alone. So that's I think you learned a lot of valuable lessons, especially in that 1 year.
So. Yeah, no, my first semester, I really kind of closed down and had to I put my eyes right in front of my feet and was just like next assignment. And I was doing it all on my own strength and all on my own. And I stopped sleeping and it was not good. And, you know, you have these little moments, you have these awakenings of like, you one, aren't alone in this, don't have to be alone in this. And what? And two, you're not going to succeed on your own. And as soon as I was able to, you know, let some things go back into hands that aren't my own, you know, things started to open up, things started to work out. I started to understand more in class and pay attention more and be able to let things go that didn't go well. And it's a whole development.
We can now segue into the fun part. Well, actually, it's all fun. We're going to cancel that. We're getting that part out. Because that seems a little heretical.
Christ, not fun. Let's move to the fun stuff.
That's not what I meant. My face is all red and stuff.
I'm Saddleback right now, and Steve's looking at me now. He heard it.
Oh, no, of course Steve would. Oh, there go. I'm out. I'll see you later.
This just is. So, Riverside says Christ isn't fun.
Dude, the joke of this podcast in our office is this is either going to be heard by like millions or like no one. And I truly think it's going to be heard by millions. Dude, our first episode was hype. Dude. And Luke, you missed the last episode. For our viewers who listened to the last episode, we talked about bowling for like 45 minutes.
Oh, man.
It was hype.
That's a great conversation.
It was so good.
Millions of people, they would have loved it.
They got to learn either no one learned about the intricacies of bowling or millions of people just swarmed a bowling. but we mentioned, just so that we can get to know you a little bit more and, you know, segue into the movie part that I wanted to talk about and get your guys' opinion. So we have witnessed a very historical event with Barbenheimer and how amazing that day was and how much both movies made. Now, apparently, I think it's Saw. And Saw is coming out November or September 29th, right, of 2023. But that same day, the Paw Patrol movie is coming out as well. What are your guys' thoughts
on that?
Bro,
I'm ready for Saw Patrol.
Is that... it's called Saw Patrol. What are your guys' thoughts on that? I think it's hilarious, but... I'll give my concerns, but just it's funny. It's so funny. Just it's so ironic.
You know, it's great. It's so crazy that the way how desperate the movie industry is getting. I mean, because I'm excited for that, but I'm more excited for the collab that's coming. I don't know if you've heard about it, but the sequel between Saw and Paw Patrol, they're going to be in the same movie. I'm just kidding. They're not going to be.
I was like, wait, what? I was like, that is a col. I was like, wait, they're collabing and everything?
A dark take on Paw Patrol where a bunch of the dogs just get killed.
They're all chained up. They have collars on.
PETA with their signs out there like, this is horrible. The whole internet. Yes, we want it. But my biggest concern. Oh, go on, Troy. Go on.
Well, I mean, I was just going to get into the double feature idea of how cool that's actually been. keep going, Alex. Yeah. You had something else you wanted to say.
No, the double feature is sick. I think it helps so much. I think that's a big reason why Barbie and Oppenheimer did like so well. I don't think
it's
the
weird
Barbie,
how they kind of like piggybacked on each other. I don't think the Barbie movie would have done as well without Oppenheimer, and I don't think Oppenheimer would have done as well without Barbie. But it's because that somehow that the marketing tornadoed together of just like all of a sudden everybody knew about it, and that's one of the biggest things that gets people to go to the movies. So
my theory is that it was the Barbie marketing team that did it. They saw Oppenheimer coming out, because that's super serious. They would never do it. But Barbie, they'd be like, oh, this would be funny. And the guy who said that in that meeting probably got the biggest raise. He probably got like, he was supposed to get like 2% of what they made. He probably got 2.5.
Yeah. And as soon as they started to make those movie posters of Barbenheimer, that changed everything. It was everywhere on my feeds. And so it was huge. But I think it's so interesting and it's so important because, look, I'm somebody that grew up obviously going to the movies as much as possible. That's where my love started. Everybody starts from young. And so there's a few places that I like better than the movie theater. I am someone who has I definitely have ADHD and diagnosed at a young age and have been able to kind of deal with it without medicine. But there's things that captivate people with ADHD. There's way more research on it. I don't know anything about it really, but I'm just really just what I've been told by my parents who are doctors, but also just from other research people. I have a couple of friends in psychology research and things like that. And I've learned a lot about certain ways that people focus that way. And for some reason, like especially growing up, when I would go into a movie theater, I'd sit down. It was the only time it was ever still, like for long periods of time. And so then I would get, and my body was so not used to it that when I would stand up out of movie theater chairs, I would have trouble walking for the first couple of minutes. This happened from probably, when I started going to movie theater, so, like 8 or so, till like 15 or 16, where I started to, have more and more focus in my life. But during that time where there's less times where I absolutely have to focus for long periods of time, I pre-studying and pre-real school, I would experience that every time I went to the theater. And so, but it was something that I loved so much because for some reason, no matter what movie it is, if I'm in the theater, I am completely captivated, completely gone. So it was always kind of an outlet for me. But the reason I bring this up is because it's so important that stuff like this has been happening in the movie theater because it almost crashed during COVID. We almost had no more movie theaters during COVID. It was so close to having a couple of different businesses went down, but.
Yeah. Was it Regal or Regency? One of the R's. They
Regency. Regal's still going, but Regency is down. And it's really Regal and AMC are the only ones that are left, which is fine. I mean, as long as you have theaters that are able to support these movies that and keep them from just going to streaming is huge. So in my opinion.
No, I think one of the reasons why AMC won't go down is simply because they have Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and Walking Dead.
And they're supported by more than just the theaters themselves. Yeah. That's an important thing.
So that's one of the reasons. It's sad. I thought in my wallet I had a movie theater gift card and I thought it was for Regency. Yeah. And I was like, no, I was like, I can't use this. I was like, this is so unfortunate. And then I was like, oh, it's Regal. I was like, okay, this works. But I got like really scared. I was like, no, no, no. I was like, please. But no, my biggest, so like with a lot of people coming back for these double features and stuff, one of the big things that I, at least with Saw Patrol, I think the one thing, dude, it's just so funny, like that we're talking about this, but I think the one thing that's going to either, I don't think it's going to do that well simply because it's just two different audiences. With Barbie and Oppenheimer, you had like kind of that same audience with like Barbie is more for like younger adults and stuff. But with Paw Patrol, it's just for like little 5-year-olds who can like barely walk. And then they just go walking. They learn how to walk from Paw Patrol and do their ABCs, and then they go to Saw and learn how to kill people.
No, so. It's super interesting the way that Barbenheimer worked out, because you definitely had an element of like, most people thought it would be like guys are going to go to Oppenheimer and girls are going to go to Barbie, but it was not that way. It was so interesting the way that things, I mean, I my fiance, for example, I'm sure that we're going to go one night and she's going to go in Barbie and I'm going to go in Oppenheimer, because I was really excited for Oppenheimer. I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan. But I was surprised. She was like, no, I think I want to see Oppenheimer first. And I was like, two thumbs up to that. And then, of course, I was way too curious not to go to Barbie, and I loved it. It was hilarious. So I can't complain about any of it. So
I went to Oppenheimer opening weekend, and everyone was wearing pink, except for me and this one other guy that was wearing like black sweatpants and a sweatshirt. I looked over at him, and I was like, Oppenheimer? And he just gave me a nod because everyone else was wearing pink. It was a really funny moment.
Yeah, no, the people in the theater always had fun with it, too, because I would walk up and they'd like already give me a ticket. And I'm like, how'd you know I wasn't going to Barbie? And they're like, you know, wearing pink. And I was like, okay, cool. I guess that makes sense. And then showed up and my fiance was wearing like a little pink shirt or whatever. And they were like, enjoy Barbie. And we were like, hadn't even shown them the tickets yet. And I was like, this is hilarious.
One of my friends at home works at a movie theater. And he was like, dude, I just can't. He's like, I have to stop. This is when like the whole thing was going on. He was like, everyone's just wearing pink. It's such an eyesore. He was like, I just need to quit like right now. I was like, I just can't anymore. And like, he was like, people would walk out and just be like, hey, Barbie. Hey, Barbie. Hey, Ken. Hey, Ken. He was like, dude, I need to go to like, he was like, I want to go back to fast food. And then I was I was one of his B-reels. It was him with the Barbie like cardboard cutout. And he's like, I want to go back to fast food.
He just couldn't handle that Kennergy.
Dude, the Kennergy was too strong.
No, but it really doubled on like what I think the theaters needed. Cause like, for example, there's a lot of people that were really thanking Tom Cruise for not letting Top Gun go to streaming. That was a huge thing of that movie was waited on to have it in the theater. And then that movie kind of revived the theaters a little bit. And then this has really capitalized on that to where the numbers are back to just as high as they were for, you know, pre COVID endgame type of thing. So it's pretty cool.
Well, and I think at least right now, like if like there are like good movies, like there are some pretty bad ones. Like I haven't seen Blue Beetle, but I heard it's kind of mid, which sucks because I like Blue Beetle and like the whole concept is cool.
After the trailers and things, from what I had seen, everyone had really low expectations for Blue Beetle. And then the reviews and Rotten Tomatoes and stuff have been good. So I'm actually interested to go to that to see what it's like.
I still want to see it just because I kind of grew up. A lot of the cartoons that I watched had him. And I really like his whole, like, dude, the whole concept with him, like, it's such a good idea. I'm like, dude, so I'm still going to most likely see it or wait for it to come out on Max and see it then. But like, from what I've heard is that it's like kind of like, it's not like super good, but it's not bad. It's just like, you'll enjoy it. But then you have like movies where like people put in like all their passion, like Oppenheimer, phenomenal. Spider-Verse, don't even get really, me started really on Spider-Verse. I'm really excited to watch this Ahsoka Tano show.
Well, I watched the first episode last night. It was good.
It was good?
It's definitely, I would definitely say brush up on Star Wars Rebels, but as far as like, you know, well-made show so far, it seems really good. So yeah, good casting, good acting. It looked much better than Boba Fett. So I can be That's happy about that. Yeah.
That's all I need. Luke, are there any shows or movies that you're excited for except for Saw Patrol? on I've September 23rd.
You know, I don't know. I'd have to check what's coming up, but I might go see Saw. I might. It might be pretty entertaining.
You might go see Saw? The playground?
Yeah. Go see Saw. That was good. I like that.
That's a quote from The Office, I think, actually. Hey, have you seen Saw? I've seen a couple. Saw every weekend or whatever.
You got me with that. That was like a Ligma joke. I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen. And then you got me with the Seesaw.
Did you see Saw? Yeah.
So before we end this episode, we have our famous or infamous ChatGPT question of the day. So we're talking about movies and shows, and I know that I prepared and chose a list. Fun fact for the people, I literally went to ChatGPT and said, give me 100 icebreaker questions. And it gave me 100 different icebreaker questions. So
great.
We are currently, what is this? I think this is episode six. I think this is six. It's an episode. But we have barely scratched the surface of the ChatGPT iceberg. But for this episode, the question is, if you could be any character from a movie or TV show, who would you be and why?
Is there any limits to this? Any genre? Wide range.
And dude, anyone.
I already know my answer.
Anyone. You can. Oh, bet. Who? I want to
know. Only Batman.
Batman? Yeah. That's a solid choice.
Every guy's dream be Batman. Or be Morgan Freeman in Bruce Almighty so I can be God. So then I can make myself Batman.
You can. That's funny.
I don't want to actually be God. It's only Batman. I don't want to worry about the world's problems. Just Gotham.
Oh my gosh. Gotham. That is
dude,
hilarious.
I would
have never gone to Bruce Almighty God. That's so funny. All I can see is the when he says how many fingers am I holding behind my back, and he says seven, and it goes like this, and there's seven fingers. That's all I can see in my head right now. My first reaction was actually Iron Man. Same similar route of like, how could you not want to be Iron Man? Be one of the smartest people in the world designing. And that's definitely a very engineering mind coming behind that going, I want to work on Iron Man suit. Yeah. So that is an easy answer. But I'll share two other random things that came to mind outside of Marvel hero, Jedi, you know, something a little more unique. First thing that came to mind was actually Ferris Bueller, just an amazing,
person. Just low key, that'd be pretty good.
Everything works out for you all the time. Like, that's just a great thing. And then I had to go to my, you know, everybody asks what your favorite movie is, and it's an impossible question in my opinion. But then I always end up with the same answer, which is Interstellar. And I could definitely be Cooper from that movie. Just be Matthew McConaughey. Really, is all you need to be. Just be that cool. So
that's a solid choice. That's a solid choice.
First person to go, dude, save someone through a black hole or something. I don't know.
Dude, and then you get back and you're like, well, I've never seen Interstellar. I'm kind of stupid, but.
What?
I know.
It's so good. You got to go see it.
Where's the end recording button? Let me leave real quick.
Just to leave. I know. It's been on my watch list for a while. I saw Tenet like a year ago. Tenet was wacky.
How did you like Tenet? Do you like Tenet?
Dude, it was I was going to say a not good word, but it was a good movie, but it messed with my mind.
Get used to that, Chris, if you're gonna watch Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah. No, I know Christopher Nolan. Yeah, I've seen Inception.
I love Inception.
So it's good. So good.
I'm gonna recommend two things. You should watch Interstellar, but you should watch it in a like on a good screen in a dark room. And don't pause it. Like that's that type of movie. Like just really try and get that experience, because seeing that in the theater was insane. And then, you need to go to the less known Christopher Nolan movie if you want something to mess with your mind, but not to the point where it's almost too much for Tenet. You gotta watch The Prestige.
That's also an amazing movie.
It's an incredible, super underrated movie, in my opinion. Arguably one of Christopher Nolan's best movies, and it's not talked about like Inception or Interstellar or Dark Knight or something like that. So,
Christian Bale was so good in that movie.
Watch Christian Bale, Hugh Jackman, Scarlett Johansson.
That's a good cast. Yes. What the heck?
And Michael Caine. And it's incredible and no one talks about it. I don't know why. Find it, rent it if you have to. It's an amazing movie.
Interesting. Why do you think it's just like no marketing, or just they We're just like, screw it, we're making a movie.
I think what it is it's older and it's before Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman were as big as they are. They were, I think when that movie was made, I think both of them were more Broadway actors than they were movie actors. Well, no, not Christian Bale. Christian Bale had been an actor from very young, but I just don't think that the Scarlett Johansson was as big of a name as she is now. And I don't think that any of those names were quite as big when that came out. And it is probably one of the most mind-blowing movies you'll see. So I have nothing but praise for that movie.
Huh. Interesting. I'll have to write that down. Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah, The Prestige.
For me, dude, this is a hard question. I've been thinking about it like all day. I'm like, who would I be? I have a couple.
Donkey Kong from the Mario movie or...
No, that'd be funny. That'd be funny. Why was that good? I was going to say Scott Pilgrim from Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
It's a good one. Really weird movie.
Yeah, really weird movie. They're coming out with an animated show on Netflix, apparently. Didn't know about this.
Yeah, it's just going to be the exact same thing when animated, which it might as well be animated in the movie. So I don't know.
Yeah. But I think Scott Pilgrim would be fun, especially I get to fight all the exes. And I have the best part of that movie is the vegan guy. And they're like, oh, you lost all three strikes. You're not vegan anymore. And they just kill him. It's so random. Man.
I was way too late to that movie. I watched that for the first time like 6 months ago. And I was like, why is Chris Evans in this movie? It's the weirdest. It's so good, though. It's really funny.
But yeah, Scott Pilgrim. I would be... this is going to be very unconventional, but I think I'd probably go Tom Mater. I would be Tom Mater. Tom Mater has lived an awesome life, you know? He became a spy. He's the bomb. Like, what more could you ask? What more can you ask from that?
I somehow forgot about your obsession with Cars 2. I mean, it's a great movie.
It's a good, solid movie.
It's a great movie, but it's getting out of control. Disney's, you might.
I have my Tom Mater Cars 2 poster. That's what I should have bought for my room. I bought two regular show posters. I should have bought a Cars 2 poster. But no, I don't know. Cars 2 has a special place in my heart. If only they should have marketed it as a Tom Mater and just have it be a complete just spinoff. But, you know, we can get into the fine nitty gritty stuff after. But yeah, I think, I don't know, Tom Mater would be just so much fun. He lives such a low key life and then just out of nowhere becomes a spy back to low key. He gets to go. I get to go to all the Lightning McQueen's races, but I don't have like the pressure of like racing. I get to be down there and just get to say my goofy stuff.
The mustachio ice cream. It
would just be, it'd be a good life. All three of those would be fun, but I think Tom Mater would just be a fun life.
Well,
don't know why.
I love icebreaker questions, so I have one for you guys really quick. Pretty easy.
Oh, the surprise. Whoa, the surprise.
Yeah. I love these type of questions, and it's nothing to do with movies, but it has a little bit to do with movies. But I love like these, you know, car ride type questions. It's a stranded on an island question, except you're choosing your entertainment. So you're stranded on an island, you're going to survive, whatever, but you're by yourself all the time. You choose your entertainment. Your options are one great book, like The Lord of the Rings or, you know, sure, try not to choose the Bible. Obviously, we all want the Bible. We would all choose the Bible. It's the most depth. But as far as like, maybe say you have that outside of that.
Like a good novel or fiction
like
book.
Great
or just,
long book that you can read over and over and get something different each time. Five great movies or 20 great songs. And obviously you have the means to use all of these things, but you can have the songs playing at all times, 20 great songs, five great movies. So you have some kind of magic TV or you can watch it on, and then, or one really good book you choose.
That's a,
yeah,
I'm, You know what? I already got my answer. I choose the book. I would choose Don Quixote. I'd like super random choice. I know, no, very, very random. But that would be my, I would choose Don Quixote. I love the book. It's, if you guys haven't read it, totally recommend it. So it is hilarious. Considered the first modern novel. I can go in a whole rant. I did a whole presentation on this. But Miguel de Cervantes is a comical genius. It's the first modern novel. It's fun. There's literally a point when Don Quixote gets shoved off a horse and then these merchants just start beating him up. It's funny. It's great. And like, he can't do anything because he's on the ground. They just start beating him up and they call him crazy. But I would do that. Just the whole, because there's a sequel, but you can buy some of the books with all of it. I'd get that.
I'm probably going to choose the song. I think I'd enjoy it more.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I've asked this question and I feel like I give a different answer every time. But the last few times I've asked this question, I've gone with song. Because to have something just playing, I mean, you're going to have to be doing things to survive. Yeah. You're going to have to be doing all kinds of things, and doing that in silence at all times is difficult. So it's for me at least. So I think the songs would keep me the most sane.
I forgot you're a real big music guy. Have you made any sick playlists lately? For Luke in the audience, Troy has some of the best playlist names. Name a few. Drop them.
One of them, let me just scroll through it. I'll let you know some of them. Don't Pee on Jellyfish Stings.
Some good common knowledge right there. You're not supposed to. I didn't know that.
Alive Writers Association, which is the opposite of the Dead Poets Society. Californians Wear Beanies Wrong. What Are Glow Sticks Made Of? These songs are like gummy vitamins. Synchronized Dumpster Diving.
Okay, that one's fire. That's a good one. That's a good one. What the heck? Synchronized Dumpster Diving? That's straight fire. What the heck?
Breakdancing Turtles, because then they can't get up when they're done. Let's see. Manly Hiccups. Nobody can hiccup and be manly. An artist that I really like called Forest. And so I have a playlist called Vertical Logs. And Lobsters on the Titanic. Since they got to free. Go home. Yep. Yeah, there's some good ones for you. So.
Dude, that's fire. What a fire way to...
I have one called Fingers or just Palm Trees.
Oh, fingers just, on my palm trees or something like that?
Yeah,
you shared that
palm
with me.
Trees. It's a stupid idea that I had one time. All cookies are sugar cookies. That type of thing.
That's a good one. That sounds like a really good album
that one's
cover.
That one's full of Billy Joel.
Ooh, I love me my Billy Joel.
Yeah.
They should have called the piano man the harmonica man. I don't know why they called the piano man.
Yes.
The whole song is harmonica. It's literally
all so
harmonica. But yeah. Well, Troy, before we end, any words of wisdom or advice or any projects? Are you going to be pitching your solar panel idea to Shark Tank anytime soon? Does anyone want to follow?
I highly doubt it, but I do hope it gets me. It's a nice thing to help get me a job. We'll see. No, nothing specific. I really enjoy this. Read your Bible every day. It's a stupid, terrible. It's a terrible saying that everybody says all the time, and everyone just says, "Shut up." You read your Bible every day. It's the most unexpected things come out of Scripture sometimes, and that's 100% true that God can speak to you every day if need be through Scripture. Stay in it. I do a thing where I try and set the bar low. I say I always read a chapter every day, and then hopefully that leads me to reading more. Some days it's, shoot, I haven't read my Bible, let me read a chapter. But some days it's, ooh, I'm in Ecclesiastes, this is such a cool book, you know. So it just depends. But if you set the bar low and then you allow God to work, it's a lot easier. Some days you don't have it. You know, some days especially me, I don't always have the focus to sit and really, really dive deep. But if you set the bar low and allow for more, always good.
phenomenal. I love that word, those words of wisdom. Well, thank you so much, Troy, for joining us on our boat in the Pacific Ocean. So we will sign off and see you guys in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Two Interns in a Boat podcast. This episode was produced by Luke Bernard and Alex White. This groovy music was written by the one and only music prodigy Ben Carringer. We want to say a very special thank you to our guest for joining us on our show. Make sure to check out other podcasts on Moonbox. Have a great day, stay hydrated, and enjoy the music.